Continuing in our study of the book of Colossians, and the book is called Colossians and not Colossians. All right, please turn to chapter 3. We have been instructed by the Word of God on various relationships of society. We live in this society, and those relationships are part of our society. And how are these relationships to work in practice? And the Apostle has given us so great instruction in this book of Colossians. We have been taught how husbands and wives ought to relate one to another, simply because it is the way of blessing, the way of God. Then parents and children. Now today we come to servants and masters. Today you say not many of us are servants, but I want to suggest, while we read and ponder, please understand we all are servants. Yes. Don't be in a great hurry to be masters. But we all are servants. We all serve the one living and true God. And there is nothing better than that. But Paul is writing here in verse 22 of Colossians chapter 3. To servants in those days, the alternate word to use here is slaves. Today there are no slaves that we know of. In those days, society had the practice of having slaves. Now you ask me, what is a slave? A slave is one who is bonded to be a servant for life, as a rule, with no rights, no monthly salary, no CPF, no other rights, nothing. You're in the home, you are the lowest of the low, and you just do what the master says to do. Many of those came from countries conquered by the powerful and the influential. And there were other ways of getting slaves also. You can buy them. Today, no more. But we are talking of a time past. And is there a Christian way for slaves to conduct their life? Answer is yes. Christian slaves have a different philosophy of life, a different way of life, compared to the non-Christian slave. What is it? Read now, please. That gives you the background. Verse 22. The apostle, by revelation from God, gives this instruction which is of everlasting value. Servants. Right? You can say slaves. But here you say Christian slaves, because this book is written to the church. And it applies to those who did have slaves in the house. So they would hear this message. Now we start again. Verse 22. Slaves, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Amen. Does that convey to you a certain message? Supposing I were the slave, you were the slave, laboring in a home, what is your outlook? Is there a future, you ask yourself? What is my future? Some masters were horrible, inhuman, unsympathetic, but there were some good ones. This message speaks to all servants, including you and I, you and me. Yes, it speaks to me and you today. Consider that we all are servants. How should we serve? You work in a MNC corporation. You work in the clinic. You work in a school. We all serve some master, you know. All of us. So how should we conduct our lives and serve? Is there a code for servants? Here it is. Servants, obey in all things your masters in government, obey your whoever is your superior. There are orders in every government department of how things ought to be done, and then those who are departmental heads are to rule wisely and to give orders. All of us got to listen and to carry out. How shall we do it? The Word of God says, listen, you are a Christian servant. You serve differently. Obey in all things your departmental head, your GM, whoever is above you, gives you certain orders. Do it. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Do you understand what that is? Eye service. You see, I do. I do properly. I know you want it that way. You don't see, I don't do. This is eye service. Men pleases, I do it to please you. Not because there is a principle. Please understand. I'm making it very clear today. We do what we ought to do, the best we know how, simply because we have been saved to be Christians. And therefore, you have a different outlook. I serve my company head, but above the company head is the head of the church. My Lord Jesus Christ, He is my master, besides my manager. You get the idea? When you are a Christian, you've got to perform your duties in your company or in your department, whatever it is. Do it well. Not with eye service. Because someone's watching, I do it well. But I do now differently because I am a Christian. Because I serve my Lord Jesus above there, besides my GM. I serve two masters. And my master above there is also watching. And remind yourself, our Lord Jesus is concerned. He knows all that you're doing. His eye is watching every one of us. And He takes note. When you have this principle, your whole outlook in whatever you do, whether you are a truck driver or a bus driver, or any other occupation, you say, let me do this because I'm a Christian driver, because I'm a Christian teacher. Things are different. Why? Because I'm no longer an eye service man or a man pleaser trying to do to get on the good side of my GM that he will give me a promotion and so on. Those things are no longer the compelling thought and the things that you consider as the most important, but my master is up there. That makes all the difference. Verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. There is a difference. When the motivation is different. When the motivation says, praise the Lord, I have a future. I know where I am going. I know what I am doing. I am a Christian. I must magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In the old times, they take an animal and sacrifice to fulfill the law. Today, you take yourself and, Lord, take me. Now there is a different master inside me. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. You're not yet a Christian. But if you are, it is only because you have received the Holy Spirit of God in you. And He is the master. He must direct your thinking, your motivation, why you do what you do. Why? Because inside you, Holy Spirit is directing you. That makes all the difference. You're no longer a man-pleaser or eye-servant kind of person. Verse 23. Now you get the motivation and the principle. Verse 23. Whatsoever you do, dear friends, at Calvary Pandan, the Apostle Paul, by the authority of the Word of God, says to you, do it heartily, happy to do it, and do all that you ought to do, the best you know how to do, and never cut corners, never try to steal something away from your master, whether it is time or attention or the best quality work. You know how you are not giving it. That's not right. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive a reward. Oh, my earthly master is going to give me a double bonus this year. I'm so happy because I've done well. Well, I say congratulations. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But more important, I know that because I have this new principle, I want to do well because I am a Christian. And that at the end of my life and all my performance, verse 24 applies. Do you know this? Please read this. Know that of the Lord you will receive the reward. Some people have the wrong idea. They say, oh, mustn't mention reward. You are very selfish to mention rewards. I say, no. The Bible talks of reward all the time. Yes, you do well, God will reward. You do badly, that reward will be taken away. Rewards are what God has prepared for you and for me. And it says so here. I can show you another 100 places where it talks of rewards. So please, today remember, there's a rewards coming for performance before God. He is going to give you the reward. Our Lord is not unrighteous. He makes you do all the good things and at the end says, nothing. Kosong. You've done all in vain. No, dear friends. When you do well, God will reward. Where does it say so? Colossians 3:24. Know this, that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. How wonderful. Today there is so much stress and emphasis on material rewards and profits, right? So many people have missed the bus already because all the prices are too high for you to touch. So you regret, don't you? I regret sometimes. Then I say, perish those awful thoughts. Our reward is in heaven, not on earth. And those rewards that God reserves and preserves for you in heaven are eternal, undefiled, fadeth not away, forever yours. How? If you do well. Don't serve with eye service, as a man pleaser, but serve because you serve the Lord, because you are a Christian mother. Fine. Be a good Christian mother, Christian housewife. Why not? Of course. Cook better. Serve your husband better. Serve the house better. Improve on your housekeeping expertise. Are you? Now there is a reward. Once again, know that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance for your service of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not unmindful, and he is preparing a reward. You know what it says? Behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, you know that? And when he comes, make sure that you receive your reward. Now, I want to extend today's theme of serving the Lord. Because we are His, every Christian worker, including you and me, has a certain objective. And God has given us this life today. Now you ask, how about those who do not have life anymore, like we have? And I want to tell you the story of a young man. I did testify of him about a year ago. That was about 2 years ago. Today he is no longer with us. But out of his life, I want to show you that God can even use one who is stricken with an incurable disease. And in that remaining 1 year of life, he has done far more than he's done in his previous 28 years of life. Can it be? Simply because God can use a person, and that person can become a good servant of the Lord, even when stricken with incurable disease. I have brought with me a book. It's called Second Dawn, written by the father of this young man. It is a good book. And I brought also 50 copies, but 12 are taken up already, so there's left 38. And 2 are in the library. It's about a young man. And what does a young man at 28 have when he's told that you have the most rarest and the most terrible and deadly kind of cancer? And in 5 months' time, he was due to be married. And there is this young lady. They've been going on steady for 15 years. Where? Melbourne, Calvary, Bethel, Bible Presbyterian Church. I first went there, 1986. They came there in 1990. And we observed them growing up in the church and preparing for the great event in life. How wonderful. Both families are in the church and both families working for the wonderful day to come in 2005. I want to read to you that story, which shows that God can use a life even in hospital, even when undergoing chemotherapy, radiotherapy, every kind of therapy, and God uses that life. Second Dawn is written by his father, and this book is worth your reading. His father was formerly a journalist in Straits Times, now emigrated to Melbourne. He's still a journalist. And his English is two cuts above my English. Yes. When I read it, I won't let it down. It's so interesting. In case the bookshop runs out, put your name there, we'll get you more copies. And the whole proceeds will go to the hospital where this young man spent his last 1 year. You're so great a blessing to the nurses who heard his testimony. The father says, we will endow a bed there in memory of Kevin Tai. So here it is. This is Kevin's witness. At 28, preparing for the great adventure of life together with the choice lady, engaged to be married, the whole world collapsed by a big bombshell. Doctor says, Kevin, you have the worst, most rarest kind of cancer that cannot be cured. Now what do you do? Most people will crumble up, fold up, and then inquire with God, Lord, why me? Why should this happen to me? What have I done? And then they fold up and then they become very miserable and bitter. Not this man. Listen. Another young man in the church came to hospital to console him. But Kevin consoled him. The other way around. He said, I know why this is happening to me. God had a purpose for my life for these reasons. Number one, I have not surrendered myself to the Lord. But this has caused me now to give myself entirely to Him. And then he says, I know the Lord wants to use me to help my buddies, my friends, because this group of young people had backslided, being cold, and many of them were not attending the church regularly to serve the Lord, or just disappeared altogether. So, including Kevin himself, he says, I have backslided, and God is calling me back to serve Him. And so I see clearly a reason why I'm suffering this sickness, in order that I may call back my friends. Every friend who comes to see him, he says, I know I'm going to be there, but I want to see you there. If you have backslided, turn back to the Lord. And do not backslide, because otherwise we'll not meet again. So, God had a purpose for his life. Here is his testimony, written by himself and given on a particular Sunday. While I speak, I'll show you some of the slides. I know the time is short, but this one, you must know. A servant of God can be very useful, even in a sick bed, and even though the life is not more than 12 months. This is the name of the book, Second Dawn. Written by this father of his, meaning to say, when Kevin breathes his last, he will wake up in heaven to a second dawn. We all have the first dawn here. Second dawn is up there. And in the book, this is a picture in the book. It's not very clear, but let me read this. May this book inspire believers, non-believers, and believers to be. Kevin did not see his cancer as the handiwork of fate, but the hand of God in his life. This is a message. Dear friends, even in sickness, God can work amazing things. How can I be a worker for God? What can I do? I sit in the hospital bed the whole day. God has a way to send those who needed to hear the message and to hear it out of the mouth of a dying man. Here he is at church, Ebenezer Bible Presbyterian Church, to tell his story out of hospital in between chemotherapies. He spoke the word of God. I know I'm going there. Will you be there? This is very dark, because it is dark. It is a is a coffin. And for this, I flew down for it in order to show the togetherness, the sympathy. For having watched him grow from 14 to 28, both he and the fiancé, the girl, the young lady, had been going steady for 14 years, waiting for that great day. But now, what is there left? You ask yourself, why me? Which he never did. He never asked. Everyone who saw him, he says, I know God has a plan for me to bring me back. I can repeat this story to you again, and you will not forget it. If something like this does happen to someone here, do not despair. Why? If my Father in heaven sees fit for me to be in this state, he must have a purpose. For he is a loving Father in heaven. And how can my Father do anything to me that is not good? Answer, impossible. Impossible. So, when he passed, all his buddies came back. Many of them are serving the Lord again. Back to the Lord because of a dying man's witness and testimony. Can sickness bring blessing? Oh, my friends. So the Father ends the book with this. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake shall find it. Oh, my friends, we all are workers for God, all of us. Whether you recognize it or not, I'm informing you now today. God has work for you and me to do. Are you doing it? How are you doing it? Not as man pleasers and doing eye service for God. If someone tells me to do, I'll do. And if he sees, I'll do it better. If he doesn't see, I won't do it so well. No, dear friends, as servants of the living God, let us serve him because it is good to serve him. Let us serve him because he has done his all for us, given everything for us, to open the way to heaven for us. What are you doing about it? The life of this young man, this book is available. As I said, all the proceeds go to endow a hospital bed in a place called the Box Hill Hospital in Melbourne. May God speak to us today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, may thy Spirit touch our hearts, that we who have life and still are able will not hold back, that we will go and tell the good news, Jesus saves. O Lord, our God, change our lives, touch our hearts, and may the name of our Savior be highly exalted, because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to close with a hymn.